Now that's a fun song. Okay, shouldn't a light go on here? Oh, there we go. The universal, am I on? The universal signal that something's working, the green light. So I'd like to welcome you again. And I do have one more announcement, and that is on the College and Career is sponsoring the New Year's Eve event. Now, what this means is everybody is welcome. It's not a college and career event. New Year's Eve, we want that open to everybody, and there's a lot of men that have signed up to do some preaching. We're going to give them 5 minutes, and then after that, we're going to have people tackle them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. My wife gave me some notes here. Hopefully, I didn't lose them. Some things to remind about the college and career event. We still need people to sign up for snacks. And again, the College and Career Group is sponsoring it, but do you really want snacks that are only provided by the College and Career Group? So I encourage everybody to sign up. I encourage everybody to come. The last day for sign-up is tonight. Now, we have a range of sign-ups that goes, I think, from 4 or 5 years old up into decades, multiple decades. So I'm hoping that everybody comes because it's going to be a thrill to see some people preach for the first time. Now, so today's the last day for sign-up. Overnight, we are going to go until God turns the lights back on in the morning, until the sun comes up. Of course, it's Seattle. It may not come up. We're not going to go multiple days if it's overcast that day. And everybody's welcome the whole time. The main service is going to be from 7:30 to 9:30. So if you're in that block of time, you're not going to miss any of the preaching. After that, there will be games. Everybody's still invited. And everybody's invited all through the night, but after 12:30, anyone who's not in the college and career or above needs a chaperone. So if you have high school kids at the college and at the Y2K plus 8, make sure you're ready to pick them up before 12:30. So they're welcome to join the whole celebration. I encourage everybody to stay as long as they can, as long as their flesh will go. We're going to be playing the Mafia game. And I'm not sure what that's played, but I know that our activities director, Justin Rowley, has never let us down. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll probably show the Space Needle light up on the big screen at midnight, just so you know if you're really into that, you don't miss out that, okay, this is the second. And I guess that's all I have on that. Now, today's message, this is the Sunday before Christmas. So we should be going to Luke chapter 1 and 2, right? That's where we always go at Christmas. And I started there. But I settled on this passage instead. I'm going to summarize it with the title. And some of you folks can try and guess what it is. But I'm not going to tell you the title yet, or the text yet. I'm going to tell you the title. The title is Jesus, a Maniac, and a Million Pounds of Pork. This is not the CNC event. Jesus, a Maniac, and a Million Pounds of Pork. We're going to look today at Christmas. And we're going to look at it. And we're going to look at three things about Christmas. We're going to look at the cost of Christmas. And I'm sure that a lot of you could open up your wallets and it is empty. The cost of Christmas. We're going to look at the history of Christmas. And I'm not going to be biased and tell you that it's all Christian Christmas. We're going to look at the history of Christmas, and we're going to look at the meaning of Christmas. And I want to start in the text. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. Matthew 8:28 says, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergenses, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by this way." They just sailed across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had just stilled the storm. This was right after, was it Peter? One of the disciples said, "Even the winds and the storms obey him." Right after this, they come to a country called Gadara. Now, Gadara was not Jewish. Gadara was so wicked that people hung out in the graveyards. Verse 29, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" They asked a good question. "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." Now I want you to think about this passage in seven verses. Let's see, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yes, seven verses. Jesus says just one word. "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Let me tell you today, that's Christmas. The whole city today, the whole country today, the whole world today came out to meet Jesus. But let me tell you that the whole world is much like this group of people here. Let's read the next verse. "And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts." We have three things we're going to talk about today: the cost of Christmas, the history of Christmas, and the meaning of Christmas. I'd like to start with the cost. There was a census in 2002 that says 40% of all retail is between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Target wishes you a Merry Christmas. The Census Bureau also has cataloged some groupings of how money is spent. $521 million is spent on Christmas trees. The majority of them come from just four states: Oregon, Washington, North Carolina, and Michigan. Governor Gregoire wishes you a Merry Christmas. Although I'm sure she'd say, Happy Holidays. Now, $521 million. Imagine, let's skip the $21 million because that's just change. Let's look at the five. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 zeros. 5 million is 5 and 8 zeros. If you made, or 500 million is 5 and 8 zeros. If you made $1 million a year, it would take you 500 years to make $500 million. Christmas ornaments and fake trees, $312 million per year. That only take you 312 years to make $312 million. Now get this, though. Games. 30 billion. Merry Christmas from Milton Bradley. 30 billion has... No, wait a minute. I got a typo here on my note, so I got to do this in my head. So there's 10 zeros after... There's 10 zeros after the 3, which means it would take 30,000 years, $1 million a year, to make $30 billion. That's games. The cost of Christmas is phenomenal. It's 40% of retail. The world loves Christmas. And you got empty wallets to prove it. So, another aspect of the cost of Christmas is going back to our account. Now, this time I want to go to Mark in chapter 5. Same event. Mark always throws in a few more verbs. If you ever find the scripture putting you to sleep when you read, read the book of Mark. Because Mark goes from scene to scene to scene to scene. It absolutely never gets dull. It's the action book of the Gospels. Now, you guys are all spiritual. You're saying, I never fall asleep when I read my Bible. There'll be an altar for you at the end. Let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay. I'll just go off my notes. Mark chapter 5, verse 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Now, I just don't want to be too presumptuous. Swine are pigs. Okay? I don't want anybody to miss that. We're talking about pigs here. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. I did the math. I think that 500 pounds is a skinny pig. I'm sure they probably weren't as fat as ours are, because, you know, we breed them to be fat. But, I mean, like, pigs in this country are probably 1,200 to 1,500 pounds. So I think that a 500-pound pig is a pretty skinny pig. 500 pounds times 2,000 is 1,000,000 pounds. We're talking about 1,000,000 pounds of pork at $1 a pound. Now, around here, you can't get pork for $1 a pound. Now, I know they were on a different money system, but in today's dollars, you're talking about something well over $1 million. Jesus said just one word. Go. Imagine how Target would feel if Jesus said, go, and the whole enterprise of their economy was in the Sea of Galilee. Merry Christmas. They weren't happy to see Jesus. If we go back to the original text, these were their words. They said, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. That one word, go, cost the Gadara farmers a bundle. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you several times. What do you see at Christmas? We're going to look at the history of Christmas. And I don't want to kill any sacred cows. And I had to go at lengths to not kill as many as I might. But we can definitely say that Christmas has Catholic roots. The phrase was first recorded in the year 1038. We've had about half that, almost twice that many years since the death of Christ. So 1,000 years ago, or slightly less. From the Old English derivatives, where the Greek word was Christos, and the Latin word was Misa. Now, I don't really spend that much time in the Greek and the Hebrew, because God gave me this in the English. But Christomassa is Christ's Mass. Now, when's the last time you went to a Baptist Mass? Christmas has Catholic roots. Some Catholics still refer to the holiday as the Feast of St. Stephen. Are there any former Catholics here or current Catholics? You heard of the Feast of St. Stephen? The Feast of St. Stephen was begun in Constantinople, which used to be the center of the Catholic Church, in 379. This is a 1,630-year-old holiday. More than that, but we'll start there. Now, they celebrate it on January 7th because they're on the Gregorian calendar, which is different from the Julian calendar. And I'm not going to go through the mathematics of that, nor did I study it. We can also say that Christmas has European roots. Don't think that it started in Japan. Pagan Scandinavia celebrated a winter festival called Yule, Y-U-L-E. We thought that was synonymous with Christmas, didn't we? It was held in late December and early January. Yule logs were lit on the fire to honor Thor, the god of thunder, with the belief that each spark from the fire, oh, don't we love looking at the fire at Christmas time? Each spark from the fire represented a new pig or calf that would be born in the coming year. I wonder if the people of Gadara put some logs on the fire that year. They needed some new pigs. Christmas during the Middle Ages was a public festival incorporating ivy, holly, evergreens, gift giving. And since children are in here, we'll talk about the other stuff. The Yule boar. There was a pig that they roasted for Yule, and it was a common feature of the medieval Christmas feasts. It was in these times that people started Christmas caroling. They had dancers and singers, and they went house to house. It became really popular and in vogue and not so pagan in about 1843 with the book by Charles Dickens with Scrooge. Basically, the holiday was reinvented so that it looked less like Mardi Gras and a lot more family-oriented with goodwill. Now, don't get down on me. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas also has American roots. In fact, the Puritans in New England thought so much of Christmas that they outlawed it. But in Virginia and New York, they celebrated it. Now, the interest in Christmas in America was really revived in 1820 when there were authors like Clement Clark Moore who penned 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Christmas Christmas was declared a federal holiday 7 years after the Civil War began, 1870. American presidents started recognizing that people were buying so many gifts that President Roosevelt moved Thanksgiving earlier to make the season longer for more buying time. That was in the 30s. In 1999, there was a Supreme Court case where the conclusion was the establishment of Christmas Day as a legal public holiday does not violate the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. So Christmas is now constitutionally guarded. I'm sure that Target and Walmart and Sears were thrilled with that conclusion because they wanted us to be able to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I would say to you, that's God's hand in all this. Now, no discussion of the history of Christmas would be complete without Santa Claus. Now, I'm not going to talk a whole bunch about Santa Claus, but I will give you some of his names. Father Christmas was one of his oldest names. Saint Nicholas, Kris Kringle, and the French name, Pierre Noël. In our hymnal. Father Christmas first showed up in the 15th century. He really became standardized on how he was pictured in 1920. So what should we as Christians have in our modern view of Christmas? Now, I can't speak for all Christians. I can't even speak for all Baptists. I can just tell you my point of view on Christmas. And that is Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus. If the whole world is going to stop for a month and celebrate this mother and baby who they say is Jesus, well, hey, let's get on the train. Don't we want to talk about him? I do. There was a day when we wouldn't get Christmas trees. Because, you know, Jeremiah 10. We have a Christmas, we make it a family event now. We get the axe and go into the forest and cut it and fasten it with nails so that moveth it not. Yeah, the customs of the people are vain. Not necessarily evil. We have some vanity at Christmas, and it's fun, it's tradition, it's custom. But let me tell you this, some people may celebrate Christmas, some people don't. I do, but let me tell you, Romans 14:4 makes us careful to judge about people who don't. Romans 14:4 says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?" Every man is the servant of Jesus Christ if he's saved. Not my place to judge that man. When Christmas comes, I see Jesus. Yeah, the gifts and all that, but I see Jesus. I want to get back to our text. We had 1,000,000 pounds of pork. I wanted to do this. Yeah, remember, I was lost. I was lost, so I knew these songs. Some of you know them. 1,000 pounds of pork on the cliff. 1,000 pounds of pork. That's a lot of pork. I mean, 100's a lot. 1,000, man, that's a lot. Luke chapter 8, yet another gospel account. Of the maniac in Gadara. Luke chapter 8, verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Oh, man. That's worse than the bums in Seattle. We're talking about a guy who doesn't wear clothes and lives in a grave. Or not a grave. The cemetery. That's weird. And he wasn't alone. Now this guy got the devils thrown out of him. There were multiple. We hear in the account it's legions, which means a bunch of devils. He had demons. Think about it. This guy lives in the cemetery, doesn't wear clothes. Gee, I wonder if he's demon-possessed. Absolutely demon-possessed man. You would be scared out of your boots to see him. And at the end of the story, he's wearing clothes and sitting at a table with other people. This is a miracle. The maniac was restored. Verse 34 of Luke. When they that fed them saw what was done, that means the farmers of the pigs, and went and told it in the city and in the country, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right hand, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. These people were in denial. You know, first we looked at the cost of Christmas. When we look at the history of Christmas, let's not be in denial. And when I say denial, it means a bunch of things. Let's not deny the pagan roots of Christmas, because if someone knows them and they're lost, if we do, we look like fools. But let's not deny why Jesus came, was born, to die. Man, if we don't take the opportunity at Christmas to tell people about Jesus, they're not going to want to hear it for another 11 months. This is the time when Jesus is actually lifted up even at Target. Yeah, I'm going to get busted for saying Target so many times. Just scratch that off the tape. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes, the people from Gadara, round about besought him to depart from them. You saw this miracle. We see this guy healed. And they say, leave. Get out. They probably had some cows. They probably had some chickens. Get out. And you know what the tragedy is? He left. He left. So let's look at the meaning of Christmas. First, we looked at the cost. We have to fight materialism here, because Christmas can get the best of you when it comes to depression, when you find out how little money you have left on January 1st. We saw a materialistic bunch in Gadara. They acknowledged the restoration of a maniac And yet they missed that Jesus Christ intentionally came. You know, he only had 3.5 years. He went to Gadara. He sailed there. And they asked him to leave. And he did. Not get sidetracked over what God would do in our hearts at Christmas. And not think about the money. But let God work in our heart that he actually came here to die. And oh, by the way, he left a bundle in heaven to come here. When we think of the Christmas, when we think of the history of Christmas, let's not be in denial. You know, we laugh about it, but nobody says Merry Christmas. They say Happy Holidays. Like, what's that? What is that holiday? Like, I used to work for a company that was, well, let's see, let me just say this. Everybody was Indian except for me and the Chinese guy. They celebrated Diwali. We don't shop from Thanksgiving to Christmas for Diwali. It's Merry Christmas. Let's not be in denial about that. And it's like, Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas, Scrooge! Like, let's get it straight. If we're going to be in the charades about Christmas, let's at least use the word. Let's get honest with ourselves. Okay, it's like 99% about shopping and 1% about Jesus Christ. Let's not be in denial about it. Let's not get depressed about it. Let's just enjoy it. Either get in the culture, but still be happy whatever you do. If you want to think only about Jesus Christ, great. But let's not murmur and mumble about the money. It's our culture. It's the way it is. Be glad and be thrilled with it and enjoy the music. It's one tradition that's healthy. The people of Gadara so denied the work of Christ, they insisted him to leave. And they denied the very miracle that they saw before their eyes. Now, I say that they denied it, not because that they didn't see it. It didn't matter. Get out. We lost $1 million. We lost $1 million. Leave. My final question is, do you see him? At Christmas, do you see him? I mean, really, it's not just Christmas time. It's every day of the year. Christmas time is actually more distracting than other times of year, but at the very least, if we're going to go through the motions, we should see Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. I just read the first three words of this before. What did I just say? 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. That was that first Christmas, when he became an absolutely vulnerable child. A little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death. Death for every man. Every man, woman, boy, girl. He had to be born in the likeness of you and me so that he could grow and decide he would die for you and for me.
But we see Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, the cost of Christmas pales. 1,000,000 pounds of pork pales compared to the sacrifice, the cost that Jesus laid aside to die for you and me. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. There's Christmas again. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself as a 33-year-old man, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Do you see him? Will you ask him to stay? People in Gadara asked him to leave. Okay, I've seen enough. I've seen the miracle. Not willing to pay the price, get out. Are you going to ask him to leave this Christmas again? I'm speaking mostly to the folks who haven't invited him into their heart and into their lives to save them. But I'm speaking to me as well. I hope I'm also speaking to you. Are you going to ask him to leave? Or are you going to ask him to stay? He counted the cost and he came. I pray for myself that I have the courage to count the cost and ask him to stay. May that be your prayer today, if God's dealing with you in any way. If you need someone to show you, hey, I don't know what it means to be saved. I don't know how you can know Jesus Christ. If that's you, you come up here and someone up here. There's some men and some women in the front row here would be glad, delighted to open up a Bible and show you how to be saved. But hey, this message isn't just for the lost. And this message isn't really a Christmas message if you look at the text. It's a message for us throughout the whole year. If God's working in your heart, and wants you to make a commitment to him, be courageous. Do it publicly so that you can sign the letter back to God in your prayer with witnesses. No, you don't have to tell anybody what you prayed. But let it be a conviction on you that you see other people that you've made a commitment. You don't have to wait for New Year's for this. I just pray for us as a congregation that we, in a secular world, when people look at us, they say Jesus. They see Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. Let's pray.